And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 9th, 2020. Today, we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I am doing well, and I am enthusiastic to be talking to you today about how does the control of the Senate affect climate change?
So, Mariah, we'll just stipulate that this podcast is being recorded on Thursday, November 5th, right? By the time you're listening to it, it'll probably be early in the week of November 9th, right? So, as far as we can see right now, the circumstances that Joe Biden is making steady progress in the Electoral College votes, and we hope is able to win the election. But at the same time, the U.S. Senate is very much in doubt and may, in fact, remain in GOP hands, so that our nemesis Mitch McConnell continues to wield the power of the Senate. And so, as climate hawks, the question comes, what does that mean? Right. If we are to be thrown into a world where Joe Biden is president, is standing on top of a plan for a $2 trillion climate bailout, climate Green New Deal kind of plan, Mitch McConnell is standing there with his arms crossed. What happens? Where are we going to go? Right, Mariah? Is that worthwhile to discuss?
Yeah, definitely. It's a big factor.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I will admit that I was lulled for a few days into that happy daydream. I guess I compared it to that half an hour when you buy the lottery ticket for the $500 million lottery prize, and you parse out in your head just how you would divide that $500 million up and what you would do with that big windfall. I drifted into this idea that, boy, if we took the Senate, we had the presidency in the Senate and the House, and, you know, all the stuff we could do.
You weren't alone, that's for sure.
Yeah.
About every other poll was there right there with you.
Yeah, well, okay. That's a discussion by itself. But I would guess that if Mitch McConnell owns the Senate, then reform of the Supreme Court is not likely to happen.
As right? is so any reform of filibusters, right?
Any reform of all that kind of stuff stays in place. So that's kind of a worst case scenario. I think that the $2 trillion climate plan is going to face tough opposition. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out over the next few weeks and months, because the question of how climate advocates can bring pressure to bear on GOP senators, right? Because it's pretty clear that climate was a very hot topic in this election, right? So if you kind of separate that out, do we have a path to sort of make some GOP guys see the light? Anyway, that's a whole other question.
And there are some, right? We should say there are definitely some, GOP folks that are completely supportive of climate action, or at least somewhat supportive, right? I think Marco Rubio is one, and there's another one too. There's a couple of them out there, so there are some.
Well, that would give us hope. So that sort of political machination we can leave to another day. But I guess the question in front of us seems to be, what could Joe Biden do on his own by executive order, right? And executive order has this long and painful history now at this point. And I think it's fair to say that when Obama was president, he felt forced to use executive orders because the Senate was so recalcitrant, right? Wouldn't do anything. And so he tried to basically enact his agenda through executive order. So that's the like the Clean Power Plan is an executive order that he put out. And then when the other guy got in, he was just writing executive orders like high school love notes to pass across to the kid in the next, right? He was just doing all this just so that he could get signed and get a photograph, right? The executive orders became meaningless, but there were hundreds of them, right? So what is the status of that now? And I mean, how does Joe Biden write an executive order that stands muster? Because you know it's going to go right to Amy Coney Barrett within 20 minutes of before the ink's dry on the executive order. Mariah, tell me, what can Joe Biden do?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard without having control of the Senate. And actually, we would need more than just a majority, because there's a couple of Democrats from states that are tied to fossil fuels, such as Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters from Michigan, who are probably concerned about losing their constituents from their states. And so they may be hesitant to vote for pro-climate. So, you know, even if we had control of the Senate, we'd need a bigger majority than just a majority. So, it looks like it is going to be, Biden will have to be creative in how he gets these things through. It's frustrating when we know that a majority of the country wants action on climate change, and yet we have a government that is not representing that viewpoint. I think, you know, executive action to me it can feel a little tainted, right? It sort of feels like the president's just doing what they want and not necessarily doing the will of the people. But in this case, it is the will of the people. It just won't get through, like you said, possibly the Supreme Court, possibly Congress, you know, with the Senate.
Right.
And so it's hard. There's not a ton of recourse in that situation.
I mean, I think that the bright spot that I see is stuff that Biden could do as the executive without the formal executive order. So when I have in my head, I think that he could, for example, order that the General Services Administration, which administers all of the federal buildings in the country, right, order that everybody use electric vehicles, right? I mean, he's literally the boss. We could say, okay, every post office vehicle is going to be electric, right? And that's going to happen in 6 months, right? He could make that happen. He could have solar panels on every FBI building, every post office, every place, right? And again, that's something that I think is within the purview of the executive to do without having to have something that gets challenged in court. I think
infrastructure, of course, to that you need the infrastructure to support those electric vehicles. So you can pass some sort of an infrastructure bill that upgrades roads, and while upgrading roads, puts in sort of charging stations, right, or something along those lines.
Well, and I think we just last week had a very interesting conversation with Steve Rothstein of Ceres, right? And so, at that point, we're talking about financial regulation to protect banks from climate risk. And if Biden were president, he could, I think, appoint someone to be the head of the SEC that would introduce climate-related regulation into what banks do. I mean, that's what the president's job is, basically. He doesn't have to go to Congress for that or even have something that's particularly challenged in court. I mean, he can order those kinds of things. And there you go. I mean, I think the other thing that he could do immediately is to at least begin the reversal of the Trump regulation.
Right, environmental rules and policies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all the Trump weekend.
And yeah, I mean, he would go in, if again, he could, because he's president, go into the EPA, the CDC, the FDA, and reestablish science as a meaningful way of doing business in all those places, right? That would all by itself be a start.
Right. And I think there's also a lot of political sort of tricks. I hate to say that, but where, you know, you set up a bill that has something that one side wants and it's attached to something else, like, you know, subsidies for renewable energy, or removing subsidies from some of the fossil fuel companies or something like that, that gives them what they want and also, you know, helps a lot move some of the climate legislation along.
Yeah. I mean, a Congress could take away a new, so all money stuff starts in the House, right? So you could make a budget that denies subsidies to the fossil fuel companies, and at least you have a fight about it with the Senate, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing that's interesting that Joe Biden could do is to appoint people to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, right? We've talked about FERC a lot on this show. FERC is the organization that basically approves pipelines. It has improved the Weymouth compressor and so Joe Biden could, for example, appoint new commissioners to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That's an incredibly important job because it gives approval to energy infrastructure across the country. And if that FERC board were more green, then you would stop many pipelines and probably encourage lots more renewable energy projects. Because my belief right now is that FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, is basically a captured bureaucracy. It's captured by the oil industry. And all it does is approve whatever oil wants to do. But the title is Energy Commission, not Oil Commission. Right? So they can be active in regulating energy production and encouraging renewable energy across the country. So it's that is, again, something that Biden can do. And finally, the other thing that I read somewhere that Biden could do is to be much more aggressive in foreign policy as it relates to climate change.
Yeah, right? Like the Paris Agreement, which we talked about in our prior show.
Right, Paris. I mean, he could go strong arm Mr. Bolsonaro, you know, the Trump of Brazil, into doing something about not burning down the forests, right? Which is, you know, so there's lots of ways you could provide more federal aid to these. Well, so what? One of the things that if we go back to the Paris Accord concept for a little bit, one of the things that Obama had done was to promise $3 billion for a green energy fund to be distributed into third world countries. About $1 billion of it was spent. $2 billion was left when he left office. And of course, Trump stopped paying that $2 billion. But Mr. Biden could resume that, right, and start providing some amount of support for the development of green energy around the world to enhance our foreign policy position and leadership on this issue.
Yeah. So I read something, too, about joining the bipartisan push to ratify the Kigali Amendment to the Montreal Protocol.
Yeah, the Kigali Amendment, I think, is basically to control refrigerants and those sort of super-duper gases. So the CFCs, these gases that – so we all know that methane is something like 86 times more potent than greenhouse gases. But there are other things like refrigerants, and I know in the semiconductor industry they use NH3, it's 50,000 times more potent than carbon dioxide in terms of trapping greenhouse gas, trapping infrared energy. 50,000 times more potent. And so you only have to emit 1/50,000th of it, right? And so even though these are trace gases, they're tiny amounts, they have an enormous impact. And this is like SF6, sulfur hexafluoride. Various refrigerant gases are these super greenhouse gases. And the Kigali Amendment is an amendment to the Montreal Protocol. And now we're throwing lots of words around there. So without going to what the Montreal Protocol is, it's an amendment to a treaty that controls these super gases. And of course, the Montreal Protocol is the one that addressed the ozone hole, right? The successful way of addressing the ozone hole from the late 1980s. So yeah. Joe Biden did a few things, huh? So
there's
our fingers are crossed, our toes are crossed, our eyes are crossed in hopes that Mr. Biden gets to become president. He does have options. We can do the right thing in a lot of places as far as climate goes, and we will fight the good fight on all these other bigger things that we know are important. It'll be interesting to see how all this develops. All right, Mariah?
All right.
What we'll do is we'll put up links to some of the stuff that we talked about on the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have a question about any of this stuff, send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Please listen to us on your smartphone using your podcast distribution app and have all your friends do the same thing. One climate action you can do is to tell other people that there is, in fact, a podcast about climate change that they can catch up all the latest news. That can be your climate action for the day. We want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support to provide us with things to background for the stuff we want to talk about. We want to close the way we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.